It's good to be back this morning in this role. Somebody lost an earring. It's right here. I like when I do that. All the ladies go. I'm glad I didn't see any men do that, but anyway, good to see the ladies. All right, but it's good to be back with you this morning. I always enjoy my opportunities that I get to speak. Singing is one thing for me that kind of comes easy, but this for me, on the other hand, it doesn't come quite as easy for me, but I'm learning, and God is blessing. So y'all just pray for me as we go through this, but I want to take just a few minutes this morning and speak to you about something that we are all capable of. I want to speak to you this morning about something that as Americans, we all have a right to do, but we don't always exercise this right. I want to speak to you this morning about a subject that can't even be discussed in our public schools. I want to speak to you about a subject this morning that is offensive to some, but is welcomed by others. It's a subject that's so vital, yet it's so simple. This morning's subject is so familiar to us that it in itself can actually be a danger. The subject for the Christian is actually vital to your everyday walk with God. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to talk about intentional prayer. Okay, now what do we mean by intentional prayer? Intentional prayer is just like we did, and that's one of the reasons that we did this just a minute ago. You had a specific subject that you wanted to pray for, and you wanted God to hear that subject. So whatever it is, He always hears, and He always listens, and He always answers. Amen? So let's pray together. Lord, we just ask Your blessings, and we thank You for the opportunity we have to speak today. And Lord, as we talk about prayer, we just ask that we have a better understanding of how prayer can make such a tremendous difference in our lives if we will exercise the God-given right that we have. So thank you, Jesus. We love you. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Now, you know how I do things. I like to give you some definitions. I like to give you some synonyms to show you what some words actually mean. Not to insult your intelligence, but it just kind of brings to you a good way to look at some things. So there is a definition that I found of the word intentional. Intentional means to do on purpose. There's another reason. It is a deliberate thing. It's done in a way that was planned. Was that the only three? Okay. All right. Then we also have some synonyms of intentional. So here's some words that mean almost the same thing. It means deliberate. It means calculated. It means conscious, purposeful, meant, and studied. So I think we all know probably what the definition of prayer is, but I want to show you what that is as well. Willful is another synonym. But let's look at the definition of prayer according to Webster. Webster says the definition of prayer is an address or petition to God in word or thought, to talk to God, whether giving Him praise, thanksgiving, or expressing your needs and desires. So now we know what those things mean. So how can we adapt to them, and how can we use them in everyday life? I remember as a boy growing up in church, I've been in church all my life, and thank the Lord I had godly parents that put me in church, and it didn't matter if it was raining, didn't matter if it was snowing, didn't matter if the sun was shining, didn't matter if it was hailing, didn't matter if I was throwing up, I was in church. And thank the Lord for that, because I think that helped make me the man that I am today. And God has just blessed me because we've been intentional about doing some things. But as a boy growing up, I've heard many, many different types of prayers. And matter of fact, Glenn and I have had this discussion on a few occasions. Some prayers are very, very heartfelt. And you could tell that their words are not repetitive. They don't say the same things over and over again. And you can tell maybe a tear will well up in their eye. But you can tell by listening to some prayers that it's very, very intentional and very, very important to them that God hears what it is that they have to say. On the other hand, there are some prayers that are probably not so heartfelt. Those prayers, and these are the ones that we've talked about. Glenn and I, we've been to church together for years, different places that we've served together. And there was one particular instance, I'm not going to say where or who, but one particular instance to where, and it was more than one instance, but it was one person that when called on to pray, he would stand and, oh boy, he was all dignified. God had called him to say this prayer. And maybe he did. But the prayer was exactly the same prayer that he prayed the week before. It was exactly the same prayer that he had prayed the week before that. And it was exactly the same prayer that he was going to pray the next week. Not only the words, but the diction, the volume, all of the emphasis got put on the same words. So was that heartfelt? You know, I can't answer that question for him. Maybe that is how God led him to pray, and maybe it is. But looking on that, it looked more of a planned type prayer and a little skittish about praying something else. Before we go any further, you'll see I've got a couple of young ladies up here, and they've got a little skit for you that I think is a little comical, and this is going to be a great example of how things actually do not happen in heaven when we call on the name of the Lord. So y'all listen to this skit.
Thank you for calling your Heavenly Father's house. Your call may be monitored for quality assurance. Please select one of the following options. For prayer request, press 1. For prayers of thanksgiving, press 2. For prayers containing complaints, press 3. For all other prayers, press 4. Sorry, all of our angels are busy helping other sinners right now. However, your prayers are important to us and will be answered in the order received. So please stay on the line. If you would like to leave a voicemail for God the Father, press 1. For Jesus Christ, press 2. For the Holy Spirit, press 3. If you would like to hear a musical selection from the King David Singers while you're holding, press 4. Nagging questions about dinosaurs, the real age of the earth, where Noah's Ark is, and any other question, please wait until you arrive here. Our computers indicate that you have already prayed once today. Please hang up and try again tomorrow. This office is closed on weekends and any state or federal holiday. Please pray again between the hours of 9:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., Monday through Friday, except on holidays. If you need any emergency assistance when this office is closed, contact your local pastor.
Thank goodness it's not like that when we pray. Amen? We actually have a direct line to the Lord, but I don't think that we're going to have an operator telling us that all the angels are busy dealing with other sinners right now. So anyway, thank you, ladies. Very good job. Again, this morning we're talking about being intentional with prayer. So I want to take a few minutes and give you 2 biblical accounts, maybe 3 biblical accounts, a couple maybe from the Old Testament, 1 from the New Testament. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 21 and 22, and I'm going to read from the Holman version, and I'll give you a chance to find that. We may compare some things to the New King James here in just a few minutes, but I'll give you a chance to get it. When you have it, say, I have it. Man, some of y'all knew where 1 Kings was. Good job. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Then he stretched himself out over the boy 3 times. He cried out to the Lord and said, "My Lord God, please let this boy's life return to him." So the Lord listened to Elijah's voice, And the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Now, as you know, Elijah was an Old Testament prophet. Over his years, he did many wondrous works for God, some which made him really popular among men, some not so popular. Other times, he was really considered less than popular. But Elijah knew that whether his deeds were popular or not, that he must obey what? He had to obey God's commands. Let me hear you say, obey God's commands. Obey God's commands. But just as Elijah listened to God's voice, what did God do? God listened to Elijah's voice. Elijah had that kind of relationship with the Lord. Now, that relationship between us and the Lord is available to us today. Hopefully, we're taking that and listening to it. I want to go back and I want to read just a little bit from the New King James. Let me get this right here. 1 Kings. And I want to go back to and read 17 through 24. So let me get my glasses on. Y'all read this with me here so I can give you a little bit more basis about the story here about Elijah and the widow. Let's start with chapter 17, verse 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and he laid him on his own bed. Then he cried to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom that I lodged by killing her son?" And he stretched him out on the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he was revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down to the upper room into the house, and gave him to his mother and said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of God in your mouth is the truth." So now that you've heard the story, you understand just a little bit more. Elijah had been staying with this widow woman and her son. And God had already blessed this widow and proven Elijah to be a man of God because there was a famine and a drought in the land. So they had provided all of the meals and all of the water that was needed. God had. He had provided that. All they wanted to eat, all that they wanted to drink was there. But then all of a sudden, this child became ill and actually died. And verse 17 and 18 tells us that this widow woman was very distraught and blamed Elijah. So Elijah took up the lifeless son and asked God to heal him. He intentionally asked that. He said, "God, please heal this boy. Breathe life back into his lifeless body and let him live." Well, the scripture tells us, folks, right here, God did that. He answered that intentional prayer. Now, I say amen to that. How about you? Now, this is the first record that we see in the Bible that I know of that shows where there was someone raised from the dead. So this was the first of those miracles. There's another one, too. I'll give you this other one. At least this one's not on the PowerPoint. But turn with me, if you would, over to Daniel chapter 6. And you'll see my little, I don't know if you caught this, but if you'll take a look at this, this one's better. You can see it over here. You've got the man who's camping out, and you got the lion over here. The lion looks pretty serious, okay? And you see where the rifle is? He can't get to the rifle. The lion's in the way. So do you think this man is praying intentionally? Amen. I would say that he's, "Lord, please don't let this lion eat me." Okay? Now, I don't know what happened after that. I stopped it right there. But we also know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And I'm not going to take a lot of time to go through that complete story, but I wanted to show you just a couple of things. You know the deal with Daniel. Daniel was in a situation to where they had passed a law that he could no longer pray for 30 days. Okay? Well, Daniel said, "Well, we'll just see about that," and decided that he would just disobey that law completely. He went to his room that he had built specifically for prayer, and he continued his three-time-a-day regimen in the window of that room. Well, of course, they saw him. They did that on purpose because they were trying to trap him anyway, okay? But anyway, so they got him, and they put him in the lion's den. But he was deliberate and intentional, not necessarily about specifically praying for a particular event, which I'm sure that happened from time to time, but he was intentional about his prayer times. He knew exactly when he wanted to pray, and he did not deviate from that. And Daniel, of course, was a great man of God. He petitioned the Lord. Daniel's accusers found him praying and making supplication. Daniel made no vague request. His prayers were specific, they were applicable, and they were passionate. And we all know what happened with Daniel in the lion's den. But before we go any further, let's take a look at a New Testament example of this. And let's go to Matthew chapter 26, and we'll look at verses 36 to 39. Go ahead and turn with me when you get there. Tell me I've got it. You'll know this story very well. If you have it, say I have it. All right, here we're going to read from the Holman. It says in verse 36, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told the disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me.' Going a little farther, he fell face down and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me.'" Now catch this, what he said. Listen to this last line, what he said in this verse. He said this, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." Okay? Now that had to have been difficult for Jesus. Jesus knew why he was put here. He understood his reason for living. He was born to die. He was put on this earth to die for you and for me. But he was asking the Lord, "If it's your will, please spare me from all of this torment and this torture that I know is coming." Jesus was all God, but guess what, folks? He was all man. He was one and the same. That's what our Bible tells us, that not only was he all God, he was all man. So, Adam, what you feel, Jesus feels. Mr. Ted, what you feel, what you have felt, Jesus would have felt, because he had to go through that torment and through that agony just so he could die for us. But this was a very specific and a very intentional prayer from Jesus. Now, while Jesus was on the earth, he gave us many examples of how we should pray. Matthew 6 is a great example of that. It gives us the example of the Lord's Prayer. How many of you say the Lord's Prayer from time to time? It's okay if you do that. That's a great prayer to pray. I remember when I was in high school, I was in the band. Some of you have been in the band. And one of the things that we did before every performance, Mr. Young at that time, he defied everybody. He didn't care. And we circled up and we said the Lord's Prayer before we took the field every time. And I appreciated that, not only because I'm a Christian, but because he stood out on his own because the school district wouldn't support it. And I was grateful that he would do that. But the night that Jesus was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was betrayed and arrested. He already knew what was going to happen. And in this prayer, as you can see, he was pleading with the Father to just do away with the torture. He didn't want to have to go through that. He also knew that there was really no way to avoid what was coming, no matter how much he was dreading that. So he ended his prayer with that statement. And put that verse back up there, if you would, Lisa. Again, I want people to see that. It says, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." This is the part of the prayer that God answered. It was the only part of the prayer God could answer. Amen? It's the only part of the prayer that he could. So we all know what happens from here. God's will was for Jesus to die a cruel death for you and for me. And his will was for Jesus to take the sins of every man, woman, boy, and girl, so that we could have the opportunity for eternal life. You see, God's not going to do things that are contrary to his will. He's not going to do things that are out of his character, okay? He's not going to do things that are contrary to his law. He's not going to do things that are contrary to his love. In all of these examples, the prayers that were prayed did not defy the nature of God's laws. And it's because Jesus ended that prayer with, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." So, folks, we must pray intentionally and within the parameters of whatever God's will is. He always answers prayer, even if it's a no, even if it's a not yet, and even if it's a yes. And the answer for Jesus to avoid his painful death was no, and the answer to Elijah's prayer was an immediate yes. So regardless of the answer or even the timing of the answer, God always listens, he always has, he always will. How many of y'all familiar with a country music artist named Garth Brooks? Hands all over the house. You're probably saying, Pastor Steve, why in the world are you bringing up Garth Brooks? Well, Garth got really bold. I don't know how old this song is. It may be 15 years old, maybe 20 years old. He came up with a song. It was called Unanswered Prayers. You ever heard it? Beautiful ballad. I love the way the song flows. He did a really good job putting it together. But I got to tell you, the words just ain't right. And I'm sure Garth meant well. I'm sure that he probably made his millions on the song, and that was actually what his intention was. It wasn't to glorify the Lord that I can see. But here's what the refrain, or here's what the hook of this song says. It says, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. And again, I think Garth meant well, probably made a ton of money. But unfortunately, I think he probably influenced a lot of people to think that God does not always answer prayer. And to me, that's a tragedy because God answers all of our prayers. God answers them again, whether it's yes, whether it's no, whether it's not yet, maybe whatever it is, he has an answer. So with all of this being said, should we be intentional with our prayers? I've already asked you today to be intentional. And I hope this side over here, I hope you guys took that to heart, and I hope you prayed for your pastors. We need your prayers. The life of a pastor is a very bumpy road. And God has blessed me with that, and I love it. And I was telling Miss Barbara the other night, it ain't work if you love what you do. And that's where I stand today. I love what I do. God has gifted me in some areas, and I want to use it for him. So should we be intentional? I've got a few verses here for you that I want to give you. And let's look at James. And you can turn to it, or you can just look with me on the screen. Mark it down, however you want to do it. But James chapter 5, 13 through 16 says this. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him after anointing him with the olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. I hope you wrote that down somewhere, because that's powerful stuff out of the book of James. Let's take a look at another one. Here's another one that tells us that we should be intentional, emphatic, and specific with our prayers. Let's look at Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Write it down, flip to it, or look with me. So I say to you, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Amen. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I just want to get through these so you can see there is some emphasis in the Bible put on intentional prayer. You need to be very intentional, very specific about your needs. If you've seen the movie War Room, you know exactly that's what this was about. It was about being in your prayer closet and shutting the door behind you and getting with God and just saying, hey, you know, God, this is where we are. This is what I need. This is what we got to do. Show me how to do your will. And Father, all that I want to do, I want to do in your will. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And one more that I want to give you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. It tells us to pray constantly and to give thanks for everything. Here it is in the home, and it says, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will. So my question for you today, my invitation for you is this. What do you need to pray intentionally about? Is there a health issue that you're having? Is there a job issue that you're having? Is there a family issue? We just came through a great holiday. Sometimes holidays are wonderful times. Sometimes family gets together that hadn't seen each other in years. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's turmoil. Maybe some of you have been on that side of that. Is there a family issue? Is there a church issue? Is there a problem within the congregation? Is there an issue that needs to be addressed with your leaders? Is there things that need to be taken care of that all it's going to take is an intentional prayer about? These are the questions that I hope you're asking yourself. And if you don't have anything else to pray about, be intentional for us, because we need your prayers. And I hope this morning that if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you will take the time to come and talk with me or one of our deacons. We have a lot of prayer warriors that are here today, and these folks know the Lord. And if you're in a situation that you don't know the Lord, you don't have to leave here that way today. You can intentionally pray to Him, and He will hear you, and He will save you today from your sin. You don't have to leave here lost. You can leave here found by the grace of God. He loves you. He wants to be your Savior. Maybe you've been visiting us with us for a while. Maybe you have considered church membership. Maybe there's some things that you'd like to find out a little more about our church before you decide that you'd like to be a church member. If that's the case, come and talk with me. I'd love to talk with you about those things and show you what it means to become a member of North Waldorf Baptist Church. But let's stand together and let's pray. And let's invite God to join us in our invitation. Lord, thank you so much again for the invitation that we have today. Lord, as we are intentional about what it is that you'd have us do today, Father, we just ask your blessings on it. Lord, we know that you want to bless us in a mighty way. So, Father, today as we take the time to pray, we just ask, Father, that we're intentional about that. We just ask, Father, that that you hear our prayers. We know that you will. So, God, just answer them, Father, in accordance to your will. We want to stay in your will. We want to be where it is that you have us. So just bless us this day, Father. And Lord, again, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, Lord, I just ask you right now, just touch them. Father, just break them at their knees, Father, to where they can't walk out of here until they know who you are, until they have a relationship with you. So just bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Within your mighty hand,
still know you.
God's people said, amen. Amen. It's been good to have been in the house of the Lord today. Thank you so much for being here. It's been my honor to be with you in this capacity, and we'll look forward to another opportunity. I actually have another opportunity tonight, and we don't have quite this crowd on Sunday nights, but if you'd like to come back tonight, I am going to, Brother John, I'm going to give him an examination tonight. I'm going to study you tonight. I'm going to find out if you have a dreaded disease. That dreaded disease is called Christmasitis. So tonight you're going to be examined, and we're going to find out if you're sick. So be here at 6 tonight. 6 tonight. Choir practice at 4:30. Look forward to seeing everybody then. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house. Bless us this day as we go our separate ways. Keep us safe. And we thank you, Father, until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. Thank you.